Epstein is a world-class mental performance coach with over 15 years of experience coaching professional athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives. He founded the Jump Rope Dudes Initiative. It's an online fitness community with over a million members. And he is the author of Programmed to Fail, How to Break Through Your Mental Blocks and Achieve Greatness. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thanks for having me, George. Appreciate you. And thank you to your audience for tuning in. Let's make it beautiful for them, man.
Let's do that. Get us started. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm a mental performance coach, like you said. So my dream was always to work with professional athletes because I played sports growing up. I played college football. I just didn't have the genetics. I didn't have the shells to go to the next level. And so while I was in college, I started looking at different alternative modalities to get better at sports. You know, going down the rabbit hole of the normal stuff, meditation, but then that brought me to like energy training, learning about the energy system in the body, chakras, meridians, and then starting to understand that I could do some things that weren't supposed to be possible. It's like learning how to conjure energy and be able to jump higher, become stronger, more powerful. And then going down the rabbit hole of research, I saw, wait, there's all this research that's peer reviewed out there that says that if you use these energy or visualization techniques, you will be stronger. You'll lift more weights. And I just realized that that was never talked about in my football team, right? My coach was never going, hey guys, like visualize, you're going to be stronger, or, you know, try to drop your brainwaves through these meditative techniques. No, none of that stuff is a part of the conversation. So I took it upon myself to start sharing it with my teammates, and they started getting great results. And that brought me to where I am today, really 16 years later, of being like, whoa, maybe sports specifically, I couldn't go pro with, but I could go pro with empowering professional athletes with these mental tools. And so that's what I do in present day. And that's really what the book is. It's my story of how I got here, because I didn't grow up knowing anyone who was successful in business. I never knew a professional athlete growing up. I had no frame of reference. So I had to go on this massive inner journey myself to get here to where I am, because pro sports are a very closed circle. You're either in or you're out. And it took a lot to get into that circle and to do it my way, because a lot of people who do what I do go and get an advanced degree. They get a clinical degree in psychology. They get all these advanced certifications. I went to college. I created my degree in mental aspect of human performance. I wasn't getting the tools or actually helping my athletes or helping myself. So I took a very untraditional path, and that untraditional path is in the story of the book. And then in the playbook, where I actually show people like, hey, this is what I tell my Cy Young award-winning pitcher to do to go out there and perform his best. And it's definitely not for everyone, but it is for the people out there who are the seekers, who want to know, okay, how could I be? If I have a given craft, is something that I really enjoy, like, what would it be like to fully show up in this thing and be my best at it? And so I did that for myself. And the book is a story of that and a playbook, because I just wanted to get it out into the world. Now that I can't work with everyone, the book gives me opportunity to share that information.
I appreciate that. Have you always been a seeker?
Oh, of course, bro. You know, I've always had those existential questions. I think like most people, like, what are we doing here? Where do we come from? Where are we going? And I'd say probably up until about 5 years ago, that was something that I was really hard seeking. And then I had an experience with the Bufo olivaris toad. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit.
Yeah, Bufo 5-MeO-DMT. Through that ego death experience, it allowed me to kind of like relax my shoulders a little bit, sink down into myself and be like, okay, now I've had this visceral experience of God. So I don't need to necessarily go try to figure it out in my head as much. And that was a big, big, a big experience in my spiritual growth journey. And ever since then, I've been able to seek knowledge and greater wisdom, but not necessarily as much like the existential, like make everything okay information. Now everything just feels okay.
So you talked a little bit earlier about not having a frame of reference. You didn't know any professional athletes. And so it's tough to connect those dots. And I certainly appreciate that. And had a very similar experience growing up. And then you have this DMT experience, this ego death, which is a whole new frame of reference.
Yeah, no doubt, brother. Yeah, that's, I mean, I was never grew up around religion. My dad's Jewish, my mom, but he wasn't really, God wasn't talked about in the house. My mom's an atheist. And so I had no spirituality in my life. And everything I heard, I lived in New York for the first 12 years of my life. And then I moved to Oregon to a very liberal town where like religion and God was actually looked down upon in a way. Like it was almost seemed like it was like something that was less than. And so I got programmed with that, right? Talk about my book, Programmed to Fail. I was programmed to believe that like even like giving that my energy is actually some form of like lesser thinking. And so when I had that experience with the 5-MeO-DMT and and other subsequent experiences, it gave me this frame of reference of like, no. This is it right here. This isn't like something that should be pushed aside of like, oh no, those are just for people who are looking for to be put at ease through their fear of death. This is actually like the essence of living is to understand that we are in this interconnected consciousness and we are an expression of the whole. And so being that, we should embrace it.
We're all subject to programming.
Yes.
We've all been programmed.
100%. For better and worse.
Right.
Yeah, 100%, brother. I'm curious for you, what were some of the things that have come up in your life that you saw these programs are put inside of you that once they become aware, you became aware of them, you're like, wait a minute, this is why I haven't been able to achieve X, Y, and Z or experience these X, Y, and Z feelings I want in my life. Because this invisible roadblock has been there. And then you seem like someone who's been on this journey as well. So like, what were some of those for you that you were able to lift up so you could flow through?
So much of my life and my work is around money, and I recognized when I started learning about limiting beliefs that I had limiting or negative beliefs around finances, and it was, to your point, sort of like a self-imposed glass ceiling or a glass cage because it's there and it's limiting me and my potential, but you don't realize it's there, so you just keep kind of running into it, and until you start realizing, oh, I have been programmed just from the way I grew up and my lived experiences. And there's something that I can actually do about it.
What did you do about it?
Just recognizing, okay, I feel like there's not enough money because I grew up in an environment of scarcity. And I realized, oh, well, I get to choose how I want to feel about everything. If I want to feel like I'm going to be really successful with money, then I get to do that. So it's a function of making that decision of how I wanted to feel and then paying attention and noticing when I was getting triggered or falling back into those scarcity programming to stop it and to, for lack of a better term, reprogram the way that I wanted to feel. So that's what I've been working on.
Nice. And what have you seen once you started to reprogram some of those beliefs around money? What's happened for you? Did you, because a lot of times my clients and in my life, it like things that seem almost magical happen. It's like, wait, what happened here? And it's like, I didn't really do anything different, but then different results come from that. I'm just curious if you had any experiences like that.
Yeah, well, some of it is recognizing that the avoidance and the scarcity caused me to not pay close attention to my finances, even though I work in the field. And so recognizing I need to change how I'm actually interacting with money and how I'm paying attention to it and start paying closer attention and doing the things that I intellectually know that I'm supposed to be doing. And I do believe that we are interconnected to your earlier point, and that when you realize that there's more and you can access more, getting clear in what it is that you truly want and putting inspired action towards that in service of the things you want, then you start to get more of those things that you want.
Yeah. And the way I view it is like there's two aspects of this, specifically talking about money and creating more wealth in your life. The first aspect of is like living in the frequency of abundance, which it's a real thing. Like it's just like when you're living in a low frequency, like what people meet you there, right? You end up with people who are in that kind of like low, depressed state. Like they'll meet you there. Right? It's the same thing with money. If you're living in a high frequency, abundance, so you feel like you have more than enough, like those type of opportunities will meet you in that frequency. So that's the part that some people might roll their eyes and go, okay, that's a little woo-woo. That's been my experience. It works every time. But if that's something that someone's like, I don't know if I fully believe in that, that's okay. Because the second aspect is when you, whatever you believe to be true, you'll delete, generalize, and you'll distort the reality that's coming in for you. And so essentially, if you believe that you can't make a certain amount of money or that it's impossible, only bad people make a lot of money, then you're literally closing down these subconscious pathways in your mind. And you won't see the information that could create the opportunity for me, right? Like it could be, you could read a blog article, you could have a conversation with someone. And if you believe that it's impossible to make money in finance, then even though someone else will do it, you'll go, well, not for me. Impossible for me. Once you believe it is possible for you, the openings happen in your subconscious. It's all happening beneath the surface. Those pathways open up, and then the aha moment of like, oh, I can do this, this, and this. There's an opportunity. I can do this. I'm not doing this yet. And boom, all of a sudden, the opportunities to make more money present themselves to you.
And this is true of athletic performance, true of financial success, true of love and relationships.
100%. Yeah. We all know the story of like the someone who's been cheated on, maybe earlier in life, and that's happened multiple times, and they believe all men are cheaters or all women are cheaters, and then somehow they only end up with cheaters. How does that work? It's the last thing that they want, but they continue to attract the same type of relationship because they believe it to be true. So they will delete the people who wouldn't reinforce their belief that all people are cheaters.
And then they keep running into the same kind of negative person over and over again.
They're living in that frequency. And so this is what I think most people don't understand is that like we're having this conversation, but it's not an intellectual thing that's happening. It's like you really have to drop yourself down into this almost meditative state, right? We have to get out of these beta brainwave states. We have to get into, more of the alpha theta brainwave state. And in that place, it's like that's where your subconscious becomes something we can start to move, we can mold it, we can pull out these beliefs and we can replace them with other ones. And I think that because we're always moving so quickly, people are in their head, they're very rational. They're trying to figure it out. They're like, what do I do? Yeah, I change belief. How do I do that? Head. Doesn't happen in your head. You have to slow down enough to give yourself that space to go in your body, because in your body is where it lives. And if it's okay, I want to kind of share with your audience right now, like how they could do this for themselves in real time.
Great.
So if something triggered within you as a listener, if you're like, you know what, I have a fear of money. Or when you talk about money, I felt maybe someone might feel a little bit of a pang in their solar plexus, and that's usually where we feel fear, anxiety, worry, concern. So it actually lives in your body, this belief that's causing these issues for you. So you have to close your eyes and actually feel into that solar plexus, feel the fear, feel the fear, feel the fear. And in the fear, not from the head, you're going to be able to ask yourself, what am I believing to be true about my ability to make more money that's making me feel so afraid right now? And you actually just have to sit in that long enough for it not to come from the head, but to come from the body, because the body will actually speak to you, will go, well, I believe if I make more money, my wife will leave me. What? My wife will leave me. Why would that happen? Right? And then why does that happen? Maybe they had an experience where like their father or someone they knew growing up got a divorce when someone started making more money. And it's like, it seems completely irrational to say my wife is going to leave me if I make more money. But you have to find out what are those broken pieces of code that are living in your body. And that's how we actually get to them. It's not a head thing. It's not a thinking thing. It lives in the physical body. And that's really where the magic happens, is like when you have the patience to go into your physical body and the courage, because we're going into the darkness. Like, what's down there? To actually pull out each one of those code pieces of code one by one so we can see them. Okay, it's a broken piece of code. I don't want to believe that to be true anymore. That sets us down the path of being able to change that belief.
And whether I believe it to be true or not, if I'm as I'm listening to this, you know it to be true. You've seen it work. So do you ever just say, well, why not try it?
Yeah, well, most people, they don't want to go there, right? I think, this is like a deeper spiritual conversation of like each of our soul's purpose for being here on earth. Like, what are we doing here? Why do we decide to be incarnated? Like, some people are not meant to do this work. Like, I believe that we're all here to resolve some of these patterns that we have. and to get ourselves to this place of wholeness so we can just experience the present moment with joy and peace. But some of us during this incarnation are actually not going to ever do that work. And so I'm in a deep state of acceptance around like the people who are seeking it, they come to me. Something, the light bulb goes off, they feel something, they feel a pull, they feel a call, and they're like, I need to do this. I don't even know what this is. I don't fully understand, but I know that you've got what I need. And those are the people who show up for me because, right, they're in that frequency and they're ready to do the work. A lot of people are not. They're not. They're going to stay where they are. And that's okay too. So I've come to a deep state of acceptance around that, that it's not for everyone.
It'd be weird if you were totally fighting against that. Like, I'm not doing it right. I keep resisting, and that's of course not the key. So, interconnectedness, is it? Do you feel like you are, that you have been connected to source energy forever? Is it just your consciousness that's connected?
I feel like I've been connected. I mean, I think I'm of this, right? Whatever this is, I'm of this. I'm an expression of it. How else would I get here otherwise? So I'm of this, so I have to be connected to it. So the way I view things is like, and this helps a lot of people who are very much in their head, is like, I just view that I'm this conscious human being having this human experience. There's only two things I can control that I've found. Anyone can challenge me on this. I can control my focus. So where am I putting my attention in the present moment? And I can control my choices. That's it. That's really all I have. And I can't do it in the past. I can't do it in the future. I can only do it right now. So I have to surrender everything else to something greater than myself. And this is a huge thing I found for athletes. I've actually seen that athletes have a lot more success when they have a belief in a higher power. It can be a universe, a source, the all, God, Allah, it doesn't matter. But if you're trying to control the uncontrollables, you're wasting energy and you're causing yourself unnecessary anxiety and worry and stress. So for me, my framework is I control two things, my focus, my choice in the present moment. I surrender everything else to whatever it is, whatever came before me, whatever is here, whatever is emanating this conscious experience that I see and experience, whatever that is, I can't fully name it. That's the unknowable, right? Truly, we can call it God. We can call it whatever it wants, whatever we want, but that's what I'm surrendering to.
And how does one start? And maybe that's not the right question.
That's a great question.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know this, right? From all your work in mindfulness, awareness. Awareness is how we start. And awareness of feeling for me is actually where we start. Even before we go into like thoughts, awareness of your thoughts is awareness of your feelings. Because like I shared, the feeling is the gateway to get to the underlying programming. And a lot of men especially are so detached to their feelings, they can't even uncover how they've been programmed to fail because they can't even feel their feelings and feel safe or feel like that's okay. So an exercise that I give people in the book, the first step on this journey is to set alarms in your phone to go off every 3 hours while you're awake, just to ask you, how does it feel to be you right now? And this does two things. One, it anchors you back in the present, right? Where so many of us spend so much time thinking about what went wrong in the past or what could have, should have been, or what's going to happen in the future. Asking this question forces you into the present moment, which is good in general, right? We feel our best in the present. And then it helps you build the muscle of being aware of your feelings. And the more aware you can become of your feelings, the more power you have in changing them. So that is where the journey starts, in my opinion.
Appreciate that. And it's self-exploration. It's a process that maybe it takes some people very little time because they have less bad programming. Some people it could take a long time. Fundamentally, it's a lifetime thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's levels to it. It's like you get through all your programming, your surface level stuff, but then and you think you're done, but then you start to achieve more. And then you start to run into new program that you didn't even know would exist because, you know, I call it the governor or governor on a call, right? It's like, oh, I'm going 60. There's no problem. And then you try to go 80 and the governor turns like, hey, don't go that fast. You know, the body wants to stay in homeostasis. It goes, it's safe here. Stop trying to achieve more. What are you doing? Everything's fine here. We have food, we have a roof overhead, everything's fine, people love you. But then you start to achieve more, and then that governor turns on. It might be the imposter syndrome, it might be who do you think you are, it might be, hey, if you keep going, you're gonna lose it all. Right? Those are beliefs or programs that come up for a lot of people. And so there's foundational work we have to do to get to ourselves to a clean inner world by doing that. And then you have to anticipate that as you try to go for more and more and more, which if you want to do that, you can achieve more, more joy, more satisfaction, more abundance. You probably will run into more programming because that's just how the system's built. It's built for survival more so than thriving. Right? It's built to keep you alive first and foremost.
Do you approach the work with joy? I'm sure that some people talking about it's scary, so we need courage to be able to approach it. But at this point, how do you advocate that people approach it in a certain way, or are people going to feel it and experience however they want to?
Yeah. Comes up for me is like approach it with a matter of fact attitude. Matter of fact. Like, huh, it just is what it is, right? So we're not getting so attached to it. It's like you might feel the emotion as it comes up as you go into the piece of programming. It's holding you back. It's like, whoa, that's a really charged thing there. But giving yourself the ability to be a little bit of the observer in the process, I think the matter of fact attitude works well. And I don't know if anyone likes the NBA. It's like you look at Nikola Jokic. He's, you know, could have won the MVP every year the last 5 years. He's the most matter of fact dude ever. And like, that's the energy. And also tennis. I know you play tennis, right? Djokovic, very matter of fact energy. Like the best athletes are not super high or super low. No, they're just kind of matter of fact. And so I just think that's just the way to operate in general. Of course, we experience the peaks, the highs, the lows. That's part of the human experience. But if you can settle yourself somewhere, try to be in that matter of fact place.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. The impartial observer of of how messed up I am, but that was tongue in cheek because I'm not messed up, or maybe I am. How do you think about that?
I think that you probably have some programs that don't serve you. Doesn't mean you're broken. Just means like that's your work, but we all have it. You know, you're no messed up, more messed up than I am or anyone else. Like, it's like, how expansive do you want this experience of life to be? Right? Because every piece of programming that you have that makes you feel bad is contracting your possibilities of emotion, of experience. So as you go through those, you just get a more expansive life. And the question is, how expansive of this experience do you want to have?
That's super powerful right there. I want mine to be very expansive, Brandon.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
thank you so much for coming on, man. Where can people learn more about you? Most importantly, where can they get their copy of Programmed to Fail, How to Break Through Your Mental Blocks and Achieve Greatness?
Yes, they can get the book on Amazon. I think everyone's going to love the book. It's very matter of fact. You know, the way I tell the story, I'm not someone who comes from this like air of superiority of like, I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm just going to tell you my story. And I think it's going to be relatable for a lot of people. And I think it's going to be really enjoyable. It's available on Audible as well. I did the audiobook myself. So the book is the main place I would send anyone. It's available on Amazon, Programmed to Fail. If you want to follow me on social media, I do put out a good amount of videos, BrandonEpstein_, and my website's thebrandonepstein.com if anyone is interested in doing some of this work with me.
Excellent. If you enjoyed as much as I did, show Brandon your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Programmed to Fail. Amazon, pick up the Audible version and go to thebrandonepstein.com. Find him on social media, BrandonEpstein_. Certainly link all those in the notes. Thanks again, Brandon. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.